To start out our program, Michigan's charter school authorizers have been in the news a lot recently. They're the roughly 40 institutions, often colleges, that ensure oversight and accountability at the state's 300 publicly funded charter schools. Around 130,000 young people will attend a charter school in Michigan this school year. 3 weeks ago, State School Superintendent Michael Flanagan warned 11 authorizers that their performance has been deficient. He called for greater quality, transparency, and accountability from them. Without improvements by mid-October, he threatens to suspend their ability to authorize additional schools. Last Friday, an organization that represents 10 authorizers announced a set of new voluntary standards they say will improve oversight and performance. Two key members of the Michigan Council of Charter School Authorizers join us now to discuss those standards. Cindy Schumacher is the executive director of the Engler Center for Charter Schools at Central Michigan University. Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you.
And Dr. Tim Wood is executive director of the Grand Valley State University Charter School Office. He's also a vice chair of the Michigan Council of Charter School Authorizers. Welcome, Tim.
Good morning, Mark.
Between the two of you, you oversee over 100 charters around the state. Did you play a role in creating these new standards?
Certainly. Being two of the largest authorizers, but also known for our quality authorizing. We've been involved with the Council of Authorizers in the past years to establish standards, and what we've done recently is take those standards to the next level. And what we are providing now, or what we announced on Friday, is an accreditation system that really, it's not something that you've seen even across the nation. So these will be standards that people will be looking at in an accreditation system from around the country.
Tim, what did you look at here when putting these together?
Mark, we actually looked at our current practice and really codified that into a policy or to a bylaw that we will self-regulate or adhere to. And we're trying to work with the State Department of Ed and Superintendent Flanagan in trying to say, look, this is a very good way to evaluate authorizer effectiveness. These are the nine things that we do, and we think this is an appropriate way to evaluate authorizer effectiveness.
Well, we are talking about nine categories here: application, performance contracts, transparency, fiscal and legal compliance, operations, board development, reauthorization, transfers, and closure and interventions. I wonder if both of you could zero in on one of these categories and explain for us in layperson's terms how these new standards would change your operations. Cindy, what about you?
You know, from an overall perspective, these are what an authorizer would be expected to do. And being a leader in this area, these are standards that CMU has been operating under for years. So we've been seen as a model authorizer across the nation. And so working with our counterparts here in Michigan, you know, Michigan's been a leader in this area. And so these will allow us to ensure that all authorizers are upholding these standards. And for instance, there's been a lot of conversation about the transfer of an underperforming school from one authorizer to another. These standards will make it clear that that's not something that will happen without further discussion to ensure that a school isn't shirking responsibilities, if you will, or accountability, and by going from one authorizer to another.
Tim Wood, your office at Grand Valley was one of the 11 put on notice by Superintendent Flanagan, and you originally expressed surprise that GVSU was on the list. Do you have a better understanding today of how you ended up there?
We do. We do. And you're absolutely correct. We were very surprised. A year ago, the State Board of Education listed Grand Valley as a top-rated authorizer in the state, so we were surprised when we ended up on that list.
But, what happened?
What happened is that they're changing the metrics and how they were evaluating authorizers. And these standards that we're proposing to the superintendent, we think is an effective way of evaluating us. Currently, the Michigan Department of Ed decided to use student performance, and I think it's clear to point. I think we need to clearly point this out that Authorizers do not operate schools. We're not a school. We're not a management company. We don't teach students. We hold operators accountable to these nine standards, and we're not involved in the classroom. So we think it's an inappropriate measure to measure an authorizer based on student performance. While we're extremely concerned with student performance and how a school is functioning, we think we've addressed that in the nine standards. If one of the standards you mentioned is closure and intervention, if a school is not performing at an appropriate level, then we will close the school. Grand Valley has closed 15 schools in our 20 years of authorizing charter schools, primarily for poor academic performance, and that's within our preview, and that's what's expected. Now it's a change from the standpoint that now it's going to be required of authorizers. Before it was recommended, now it's going to be required. If you have a school performing in the bottom 5%, which is part of the federal statute, if your school is there, then you begin putting in a notice and you tell it that we're beginning the process of closing your school, which takes about a year.
I find it a little extraordinary here, though, that charter schools have been on the landscape here in Michigan for 20 years, and this is the first time student performance is really on the radar, though. Cindy,
well,
can you help?
Or well, just let me make let me make myself clear here. Student performance is paramount in everything that we do. It is primary. It's a primary function of the school and the authorizer. We want to make sure that we're operating quality schools. And if we're not, then we go about closing them. But to use a student performance as a measure in evaluating authorizers, we're saying, is an inappropriate measure.
And Mark, one of the things that I want to point out is that, as Tim says, student performance, that's why we're here. We want quality education options for our students here in Michigan. And the way that we do that is we have a performance contract with our schools. And in that performance contract, it lays out specific requirements and targets for those schools to meet. And so while, you know, we don't believe that an authorizer should be assessed based on the performance of the school, we are holding our schools accountable. And then if they don't meet those targets, we move them into interventions. We have, I think it's 77 schools that are in some form of intervention among council members right now, with the idea that, you know, we're going to help influence performance for the students. And in the end, if that doesn't happen, then we will move to closure if that's what we need to do.
How big of an adjustment will these new standards have on your operation at the Engler Center?
You know,
you suggested that you have a lot of these standards down, and you've been one of the higher performing authorizers for a while. Is there work for you to do, though, as well?
Oh, certainly. We'll take a look at each one of these standards and ensure that, you know, what we're requiring of our schools will allow us to be the best authorizer in the nation. And so there'll be some tweaking that we need to do along the way. But, you know, overall, these are, I think, very solid standards that any authorizer should have been and is continuing to look at.
Are these standards binding in some way? Is there any guarantee in place that these will be met?
The way that we're proposing the system would work would be that there will be an accreditation board made up of five members. There'll be three members from the authorizing community on the council, as well as a member from the state board or the superintendent's office, should they choose to participate, as well as a member from a national organization that has experience with charter schools, with the idea that there would be a review that would take place. And then based on that review, the authorizer would receive one of three statuses: one credited, one accredited with conditions, and one not accredited. And of course, there'd be some due process that would allow an authorizer that received accredited with conditions or not accredited the chance to make some changes and corrections along the way, but on a very short time frame. And then if they're not, they aren't able to make the changes and they remain not accredited, then that what they would be agreeing to is that they would no longer authorize new schools or reauthorize existing schools until they became accredited again or accredited with conditions.
Our guest today on Current State, Cindy Schumacher, Executive Director of the Engler Center for Charter Schools at Central Michigan University, and Dr. Tim Wood, Executive Director of the Grand Valley State University Charter School Office. We're talking about the new voluntary standards that were put forth on Friday from the Michigan Council of Charter School Authorizers. Tim Wood, last Friday, President of the State Board of Education, John Austin, told the Detroit Free Press that the charter community is getting past denying that there are serious problems. Do you feel like there's been some degree of denial on the part of authorizers?
I'm not sure I would say denial, but I think there have been some of our colleagues that have been remiss in doing what they should be doing. And that is, in our view, closing those schools that are underperforming, that are not serving kids appropriately. If they're operating a school in the bottom 5%, and that's what these standards are saying, then they should begin going through the closure protocol. By using the, we place charter schools in school districts that have been failing students for decades. We're not placing charter schools in one of the hundreds of high-performing public school districts because they're doing a good job educating students. In the urban setting, there's a number of urban school districts that are not helping kids, and that's where we're placing schools. And this current proposal through the Department of Ed is really going to encourage us to not go into those schools, not help those kids that are being underserved. And we're saying we want to continue that work because we think it's absolutely necessary to provide options and provide choice. I think one of the things that John Austin is missing, and that is the choice component. I mean, we're, at least right now, we are providing parents with an option. And if we go with all traditional schools in the state, which I think John Austin would like to see, then choice for parents goes out the window.
A new Epic MRA poll shows that 73% of Michigan voters favor a moratorium on new charter schools until there's a review of Michigan's charter system by the MDE and the legislature. Do you feel, Cindy, this recent discussion, especially since the Detroit Free Press series back in June, how big a setback is this for the charter school movement in Michigan?
You know, there's no doubt that it's had an effect on the movement in Michigan. However, it's really unfortunate. The Detroit Free Press story could have been a story about accountability and how authorizers are performing accountability. You know, the items that were shared in the stories aren't items that were found by the reporters. These were items that the authorizers were doing their job, and through the systems that we've created, we're able to identify and fix along, you know, as we go. And then as an authorizer, what we do is we're about continuous improvement. And, you know, when there's a challenge, we take a look at it. We work with the school to ensure that the challenge is taken care of. But then we go back and we look at our systems and say, is there any way that we want to, you know, change our system? But the thing that we can't forget, that this is about providing quality option to kids across Michigan. And as an authorizer that believes in that, we work very hard to ensure that we are providing that choice, but they're quality choices for our parents and students.
I have to ask you, though, would your new standards be unfolding were it not for the Detroit Free Press series?
Actually, you know, we've been talking about this for over a year, and they actually started back in 2002. You may recall there was, at the time, the legislature commissioned a report or a study on charter schools, and it was called the McPherson Report. And in that report, they called for an accountability or accreditation system for authorizers. At that point, they tried to get that through the legislature, but it didn't pass. And so as we started talking about this over a year ago from a council perspective, we pulled from that McPherson report and started looking at what was it that they were calling for. And so this, what we've developed here, aligns very closely with that McPherson report.
Did the Free Press get anything right, though, Tim?
Boy, that's a difficult question, because the two issues involving Grand Valley State University and the Free Press article were were not accurate at all.
The reason I ask is that Dan Shaughnessy and several other charter school leaders here in Michigan have, Mr. Shaughnessy in particular, couldn't bring himself to admit that the Free Press got anything right.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that they didn't get anything right, but without commenting on the integrity of the journalistic approach, I would say that what they did get right is that there are some authorizers that were not functioning at a high enough level, that we should not have schools operating in the bottom 5% in this state when we clearly have the mechanism to close them.
Mark, you know, one of the things that it's not what they got right, but I think if I could change anything would be the way that they looked at student performance. Charter schools are having success with student performance. And if you look at the top 25 schools in the state of Michigan based on MEET proficiency, 8 of them are charter schools. And so it's a pretty good percentage given the number of charter schools to traditional schools. In our portfolio at CMU, we have something called the Composite Resident District, and we can look at where students came from and compare it to how they did on the MEET test of the charter school they're in. As long as they're out of 17 of the 18 MEET tests, they outperformed their traditional district. But it's because we have the data where we can go back and actually figure out where that student went to. The other thing that we do, and all the authorizers that participate in the council require computer adaptive testing. And so they take a test in the spring and in the fall so that we can measure growth and we can really see if there's value being added to our schools. With the CMU portfolio, what we've been able to determine is if the students stay with the CMU chartered school for 3 or more years, then we're seeing those students who come in economically disadvantaged in a higher percentage minority than our traditional districts, but within 3 years, they are almost meeting the statewide average in reading and are actually exceeding it in math. So, you know, a quick look at the top-to-bottom list is only one measure, and I think as an authorizer community, that's one of the things that we've been a leader in, and is trying to develop additional accountability systems that really allows us to get into the data and see where we are having success.
I have to ask you about the future. Michigan School Superintendent Michael Flanagan has seen the standards. He calls them a great start, that's a quote, but possibly not detailed enough, and he's still pursuing his own set of standards. How do you expect this will play out?
Well, we're meeting with the superintendent on September 23rd, and it's basically a day-long meeting where we hope to grind out a lot of this material. Our objective is to say to the state superintendent that these 9 standards are really an accurate way of measuring an authorizer's effectiveness. We're voluntarily saying we will comply with these standards, and hopefully that September 23rd date will be fruitful.
How will you fare on October 22nd? You're one of the 11 authorizers that he's calling for improvements on, and October 22nd is that date.
Yes. And we will currently, if he stays with that metric and how he's measuring charter school authorizers, then we will be suspended. And here's why. Because we place our schools in failing neighborhoods, failing school districts, and we try to bring those kids up to grade level. So what we're doing is we have a whole host of very high performing schools, and he's using the metric. It's called a gap analysis. So if you have a series of high performing schools and a series of low performing schools, and if that gap between your highest performers and your lowest performers is wider than the state average, then that gap analysis will place us there. We have chosen to operate. We have 5 high schools in Detroit, Grand Rapids, and Muskegon that serve homeless students. And they serve students who have been expelled, students who have dropped out of school. And we also have an online dropout school. And we're serving those kids. And as long as that metric stays with the state superintendent, we will never fare well on a gap analysis doing what we're currently doing, because we will have high performing schools and we will serve those kids that need to be served.
So you expect not to be authorizing any additional charter schools in Michigan?
No, that's not true. What we expect is that we're working with a logical superintendent who will see the logic in these 9 standards and saying this is an appropriate measure. This is something that will encourage authorizers to continue to place schools in those neighborhoods that need those quality schools.
And he will remove the gap?
That's what we're hoping.
Standard?
That gap analysis metric is in our view, an inappropriate measure. I mean, by policy, if that stays, he's saying to all authorizers, do not serve homeless kids. Do not serve kids that have been expelled. Do not serve kids in poor communities. And I don't think Mike Flanagan wants to see that happen.
Our guests have been Dr. Tim Wood, Executive Director of the Grand Valley State University Charter School Office. Cindy Schumacher is Executive Director of the Engler Center for Charter Schools at Central Michigan University. Good luck to both of you, and many thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.